Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 529. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me for this, the first episode of the MMA Roadshow to take place while I have a teenager living at home. How about that, huh?
I was wondering where you were going. I was
about that?
Yes, indeedy.
Big man turned 13 on Monday, I guess, was the official date of his birthday, but obviously we had like an entire weekend-long celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, I'm exhausted, man. I need like a week of rest from the weekend of celebration of birthday, man. We had a big party at the house. Obviously, I appreciate you stopping by and saying hello and even bringing a gift. You could have come empty-handed.
I know, but
it was kind of you. It was kind of you.
I appreciate that.
He certainly appreciated it. You know, as you do, as you get your kid picked up from school in a limousine on his birthday, because that's what everybody does, right?
Of course. I forgot when it happened to me, you know. I mean, I know it probably happened, you know, because like you said, everyone does it,
you know. So him and his friends got picked up by a limousine. They went and had some frozen yogurt, and they came back, and they had a big video game truck parked outside our house, and they played and had a good time. Then, of course, Saturday, we had some family activities. Sunday, I got to take him to Speed Vegas, which was a big surprise. I just told him there was a surprise. I didn't let him know what it was. But he's starting to get into cars and liking sports cars. Corvette, actually, his favorite vehicle. But
I can't wait to see where you take him when he's getting into girls more.
That's a whole different kind of road trip
that's about to happen.
That's so funny, man. Yeah, took him out to Speed Vegas. I'd never been there. I mean, obviously I knew it was there, but I'm not really a big car guy or whatever, so I'd never been out there. But booked it online. And he went for a ride in a Lamborghini and a ride in a Ferrari. And then they have like a Dodge Charger, actually, that they use. It's like made up as like a police car or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But they use that as like a drifting car on the track, which was real. I'm not into cars. So that was pretty cool to see like how they maneuver around the turns. Like,
that's crazy.
I thought on the drifting part that they went to like a different area or something. Because, you know, you see sometimes we're like drifting open fields or whatever, like that open parking lot.
Because it lays a lot of rubber under the track.
But no. Oh, they just took that car out there on the track with all the rest of the cars and did the swerves around there. It actually says it's actually kind of funny because it's made as like a police car.
Yeah.
But my kid actually pointed out to me. He's like, ah, that's funny. It's like it says to protect and to swerve on there. I was like, come on. That's pretty cool. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to Speed Vegas. I mean, I was just a customer there. It's not like they hooked me up or anything, but I had never been there before. Yeah. And as a Las Vegas resident, it's not cheap. But if you're into cars, and obviously we just did the ride along, but you can actually like drive, and you could see my parents came with us to see, and my wife and everything, just to kind of all hang out. And it was funny because everybody's laughing at like just how giddy like all the guys are and stuff. You know what I mean? Because they're like, driving in their big motor car, the powerful supercars, whatever. So, you know, they'll do the driving. So you have to be 18 to drive. So I'll take him back and let him drive a car when he's 18 or whatever. But
seeing the footage of like the Ferrari and the Lamborghini was pretty cool. And I'll tell you a funny story. My brother-in-law never lets me live it down. One of my birthdays, this is years ago, back at when I lived at the old place, mom came to visit. And at the time, the rental didn't have a washer and dryer. So my mom was like, "Well, I was thinking about taking you and Jeff, my brother-in-law, to that racetrack to go on cars." She's like, "Either that, or I can get you a washer and dryer." Jeff is still mad at me to this day because I chose the washer and dryer.
Hey, that was practical, bro.
it came out the bigger value too, because you know, with the washer and dryer at the time, it was probably closer to like $1,000. Yep. You know, so I was like, sorry, Jeff. I'm tired of going to the laundromat.
That's pretty
every
good.
Every time, man. He'll bring it up every couple years or so, he'll bring it up, you know, usually around birthday time.
That
like,
is
remember
funny.
That time we could have raced in the Lamborghinis?
That was practical, though. That was practical.
Yeah. I don't regret that at all.
It is pretty cool, though. So even if you – like, so once you're there, they have, like, all the cars parked out there. And to the people there are so nice. But they're like, if you want to go, like, just check out the ones that you're not riding in or whatever, they're just like, they're all unlocked. You can go sit, take pictures with them,
sit in them,
whatever you want to do. So you can go check it out. And so that was a fun day. That was a good day. And
that's
then
neat.
The final thing before my parents went out of town, because they were all in town visiting, we went and had Korean barbecue because my son is a Korean barbecue junkie, right? Like, you've seen him in action. He loves it. I don't know what it is. I guess it's just, you know, maybe it's the activity, the grilling part of it.
Obviously the food, and it's unique, it's international.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what dude doesn't like grilling?
Get to grill, right?
You know, it's fucking grilling. It's in our nature.
but he likes it. But the grandparents who, my mom had never been to Korean barbecue. My dad and my stepmom were both in town. They had only been, because last time we came, but we took them to Japanese barbecue to appease my wife, who doesn't like the Korean barbecue, but at Japanese barbecue, she gets sushi.
Sushi.
But she had made the mistake. I don't know what this concept is, but I guess there was some movie or something called Yes Day. She was like, she said, Monday, his birthday is going to be a yes day. Whatever it is, he says yes. And it was kind of funny because I was like, what if he says he wants to stay home from school? She was like, then we say yes. But he actually wanted to go to school because it was his birthday and he wanted to celebrate with his friends and stuff. But,
and he knew he was getting picked up in a limo.
And he knew he was getting – well, no, that was actually – because his birthday was Monday, but the Friday.
So we picked
him up on – but so that was – so he could have just stayed home, but he didn't. But he wanted to go to Mr. Barbecue, actually the place that we all went.
Yeah.
He really likes the vibe in there. It is a cool vibe.
It is a good
and everything.
Vibe. And the food was good.
Food was really good. Yeah. And, he wanted to go there. And my wife doesn't really like Korean barbecue. She likes the Japanese because she can get sushi and stuff while she's there, which she digs. But she backed herself into a hole, and she was required. She couldn't say no. So she had said it's a yes day. She wasn't necessarily loving it. My mom, she was giving it a shot, but she looked thoroughly confused by the entire experience.
Yep.
My dad and my stepmom were doing their best over there. Eli and his buddy were cooking. So anyway.
Oh, they were cooking?
I was like, all right. Because we were seven of us at the table.
Yep.
And so it was actually a big table with two grills.
Two
and
burners,
so, yeah. So me and my wife and my mom were set across from one and then the other four down there. And so I told Eli, I was like, listen. I know it's your birthday and all, but you're going to have to cook for your dad, you know, for your grandpa or for your you know, papa, your grandfather. And so he did over there. But so anyway, it was hectic. It's all gone, though. But, yeah, all that to say, we had a massive celebration.
That's cool.
And by the way, and all that on the heels of me and you going out and shooting on Thursday night and then maybe having a cocktail or two afterwards. Probably not the way I should have started the birthday celebration weekend because we were out having a couple shots.
Yes,
but
feeling that one the next
How cool
day.
Was that that we ran into Jalen Turner while we were down there? It was so random just to run into Jalen Turner, man. He was
down in Fremont experience.
Down on Fremont, man. He was making it town. He was out there witnessing the folks on there. He was there with his church group from SoCal. And, man, just in good spirits, man. Like, it was really good to see him because I know, like, you know, the last time we saw him, it was very much a – down in the dumps, kind of wasn't sure about his career direction.
Kind of walking away from things.
So you and I were just down there shooting that video thing for USA Today and get a little tap on the shoulder like, John. I'm like, who am I running at? Jalen Turner, what are you doing
that's
here?
Cool.
It was cool to see him.
No, it was awesome. That was a lot of fun, you know, and the footage came out better than I thought.
Yes.
And even on the way back, when we had already imbibed some things,
couple.
You know, and then we stopped at our favorite spot, Dino's, which was great. You always got to go by there. But no, it was great. It was a really good time. But yeah, that was fun. It was kind of crazy just running into him because we ran down there to just kind of run through things and shoot it. But it was good. But yeah, I certainly felt it the next day. Like, I was just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That was supposed to be a quick
in. So out of practice.
Supposed to be a quick in and out. It didn't happen that way.
Well, I mean, but that was, you know, like, again, I was very grateful you drove so I could just focus on hanging this stick out the window. but it was fun, you know, and then at the end of the day, it came back, the stuff looked good.
Is that stuff public yet or is not yet?
No, the series, we were supposed to turn it in by, I think, today or tomorrow,
right.
But everybody I've already shown it to was just like, that's awesome.
Really good footage,
so,
man.
So, yeah, they were really blown away and stuff. And that's ultimately been the goal was, you know, have the network sort of see what some of the stuff that we could do down here and just use me for it. So hopefully this opens up some other stuff. But, yeah, the
footage
from
Red Rock and
stuff.
Once it's public, we'll let people know. Like, not obviously it's way out of the realm of MMA. Yeah. But it's cool to see because, I mean, you invested in the tech in this camera, and then you obviously did an edit on it and everything. But it's cool. It's like you were flying a drone down Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah. And it's cool, you know, especially anytime you shoot and you want something, you're like, oh, man. We could go back and we could take the time and we can go through here. We could do this, you know. So we had a little bit of luck on our side where, you know, some of the shots just came and worked out where, you know, traffic was able to move by and go. But honestly, you know, if we were even more lucky when we were going by the Bellagio,
fountains
the fountains would have
been
going.
On.
But at the time we did go by, there wasn't that stretch. There was, I think, only one car beside us and it was able to see over it. There weren't too many people by the side. So you could actually see the Bellagio. And if you know that what it was, you could see that it's where the fountains are,
right.
You know, but they just weren't on. So in a sense, we got lucky on some shots and stuff, and it was like, but we did it all one night. We got it in some of the shots, whereas it was kind of thrown together, but it came out better than what I thought for just like, hey, can you drive me down here, and we're going to get this, and then we're going to see what happens. So it worked out pretty good. So, and as long as the network's happy at the end of the day, you know, I was stressed out about it, but they were like, no, it looks great. So I was like, cool.
That's awesome.
Let's do it again. So
we'll point people in the direction once that's public. All right, listen, we got a lot of MMA to talk about. Before we do, one little thing. Did you see the NFL schedule reveal?
I saw that it came out. I haven't opened it up yet, but I saw that it did get revealed.
So not that I'm the biggest NFL fan. I mean,
Because it was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the UFC and mixed martial arts take so much of our lives. It's not like we get a chance. But
and then the Knights lost. So that kind of threw off the whole night.
Yeah.
Man. I watched that. That was tough.
That was rough, man. Night season is over. No. The Raiders this year host home games against both the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
So both of our teams are coming to town.
I was going to say the Browns came last year, didn't they? Or was that 2 years ago? Maybe that was 2 years ago. The Browns took over. Boy, they travel well.
Yeah?
Yeah, they traveled well. So, yeah, I might actually – I think I'm going to go to this one because this one – last time when they came, I had friends go and they were like, dude, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you know, as much as – I'll support the Raiders because they're here in town. But,
we've lived here long enough. You got to support them a little bit.
You
got to
support your team. But a lot of people just switch teams.
Nah,
like, who does that?
Can't do that.
You know, like, that's just so weird. Especially, I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to just switch my team because somebody moved to town.
Yep.
Like, I'll support the local team, but if the Browns come, you know who I'm going to be supporting.
100%. It's funny. So, I'll be honest with you. MMA is such a, you know, taking over my life that, like, I couldn't tell you who the top three receivers on the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Like,
I have to do a crash course
before
every season.
100%. So I'm not going to say I'm the biggest fan. But, again, my family's still from – I'm always going to be from Dallas. I always remember. You know what's funny is I just thought about this. I don't know why. I just had this memory. My first NFL football game, actually, at the old Texas Stadium, which doesn't exist anymore, my dad took me. It was the Cowboys versus the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty wild. So, anyway – But, yeah, so anyway, the Dallas, I'm always like this, even though the Knights are out of the playoffs, I'll still watch the Stars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, I like to do it. But it's funny because my wife, love her to death, she's like, oh, I have some friends that have some tickets. I'll see if I can get them. I'm like, the resale value on the Cowboys coming to Las Vegas is going to be insane. I'm like, thank you for asking, honey. I was like, we might have to find alternate methods because I don't think your friends are going to be like, sure, just take these face value. You know, like when the Cowboys always travel real well. I know a lot of people hate the Cowboys, but they travel well.
Yeah.
I was like the Steelers coming to town. Yeah. The Steelers always travel well. Like your friends that have season tickets that go sometimes and sell them sometimes, you know when they saw that reveal, they were like,
we're going to go.
My tickets are paid for.
I mean, this is where people want to go. I mean, this is a destination.
But I'm going to try to go. I think I'm going to try to go. That's cool. So try to go see the Cowboys. I think that'd be fun. And by the way, obviously, the Cowboys always get to play on Thanksgiving, which is a cool thing about being a Cowboys fan. This year, Cowboys and Chiefs. So that'll be a good game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. A lot of subtext there.
A lot of subtext.
Cowboys versus the
Wife will be wanting to watch it. Wife will be cheering against me because she's cheering for Taylor Swift. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed.
She watches like every Chiefs game.
Really?
Oh, my God.
That's
like,
hilarious.
She watches like every Chiefs game.
Just to see if she sees
to get
like
a glimpse, to catch a glimpse of Taylor Swift.
Taylor?
Yeah. Too funny. All right, listen, UFC Fight Night 256 is this week. We'll talk about that. I know you were at Media Day yesterday. I couldn't make it over there, but I did watch the interviews that you so expertly conducted. My wife actually had it on the background. My wife was like, look at Kenny asking questions. Like I had to.
Oh, at Media Day?
I was replaying the Media Day stream last night after dinner or whatever, just trying to catch up. And I had it on the TV in the kitchen while we were cleaning and stuff. And she's like, look at Kenny asking questions. I'm like, yeah, you don't watch many Media Days, do you? I was like, but she admired how far you had come in your development. Oh, just like handling business on Media Day. So
I thought the Paul Craig one went pretty good. I mean, because we have a good relationship with him.
That's your boy right there.
Yeah,
that Paul sees you and he's like, bro, little Jew.
Yeah. I mean, it was a tough one. I mean, coming in with three losses, I mean, like, I could see where somebody could just jump right in there and then you set the mood. And we've always said this over time, you know, like, there's a tactful way to kind of get in there. If you can get somebody to open up and get comfortable, they're going to open up and be comfortable talking about stuff that might be down on them. I thought he did a great job of just sort of, like, opening up, and I was just like, cool.
Yep.
This is good, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, there were some ones in there that I was glad that people hopped in because I started getting really far behind because I'm still trying to do
it. It's hard when you're trying to do the interviews and shoot and edit
and
upload.
And now the way that our new system, like it's so many steps to upload to the new Presto platform within like USA Today. It's not like
our
old WordPress.
Are still getting used to.
Oh my goodness.
Still getting used to
settling. So many steps. And it's just like, and then somebody come up and I'm like looking at what he's doing. I'm like, all right, well, let's just hop in here, you know. And then it's just like at one point I looked over. I was like, can you help me out? I was like, can you ask questions so I can catch up? I have writers and people that are waiting for video and I don't even have my first one. Because then there was like a hiccup with like Morales. Morales ended up being like the third video upload because it kept getting stuck and I kept having to re-upload.
Because your system now is basically so that anybody in Gannett can access it, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you're essentially uploading.
Once it's in there, anybody
like,
can take
literally
that
literally anybody
ID
can run it and put it in there, which is smart.
Which is what
for
we wanted
to
before.
For a news network, that's
what
it should be, right? Like, you got why be duplicating or replicating efforts when you can just all share
100%.
From the same pool.
Like, because, you know, before we were on a different platform, so say we put a thing, they would have to embed a story that would maybe have our player on their player. You know, our player, it would just pretty much just be pushing them to our page.
Right, which doesn't incentivize them to utilize it.
Now we can live within there. So Reno Gazette wants to put it, and they can write their own little story, and they can put our video in there and boom, it's right there playing within like the native player.
That's awesome.
Theirs and stuff. So yeah, it's a work in progress. There's just some stuff. It's just slow. There's a lot of steps and a lot of fields you have to fill out before you can actually publish it. And it's interesting. Like even the thing of like an image. I can't publish a video live without, and this sounds like a simple thing, but you can't publish it without adding a thumbnail. Sometimes a thumbnail takes a second, especially because it's a step where it's another export, and then you have to do the other little things with that. And it's just like, but whatever. But at the end of the day, I was just like, can you ask? I was like, can you start? I was like, bro, I'm like three behind.
I was like,
please help me out.
All right, well, we'll get to some talk about the media day, but I did want to get to the big news because it really is what everybody's talking about, right? And it is funny because I feel like we went from everybody saying, oh, MMA, it's so terrible. There's nothing going on in the sport. It's over. It's over. We're not even doing anymore. It's all of a sudden like, bam, here's a headliner. Bam, here's a headliner. Bam, here's another headliner. Dricus du Plessis, Khamzat Chimaev. Obviously, that is a big fight. By the way, did you see? Dricus is savage on social media. Did you see that, like, Nassourdine Imavov got named as the official backup and Dricus, like, posted, oh, so I guess I'm fighting Nassourdine Imavov now since. Just a little jab at Khamzat. You don't show up and make it. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen the guy in the U.S. forever. I mean, like, this is the guy that's hanging out with a guy that's been listed as a fucking terrorist.
We'll see what happens.
A warlord.
But
like,
actually,
come on.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I didn't think we'd ever see Chimaev in the States. I'm literally blown away.
It's good. It's good. Well,
I mean, I guess we'll see.
We'll knock on a little wood right here.
If he's there or not, I'll be watching the fight. It doesn't matter. I think it's a cool fight, and it'd be cool to see him, you know, be able to fight. But
I like that fight a lot. It's in Chicago.
Yeah.
I could say
this guy's been sitting out on the side for a minute too, though. I mean, like,
it's
kind of interesting that they're playing off. I mean, granted, he's been up there for a minute, but I mean, like, in terms of activity and, you know, like, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. Like,
all right, so I wonder if somebody.
You just feel like there was outside influence making this happen. And maybe when it comes to investors and other sort of stuff. Like, I felt like they could have went other routes than just immediately jump on Chimaev.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I actually like that fight. And I didn't – I I feel like we've been building this moment for a while. So that one I liked a lot, right? I liked a lot. Mm-hmm. But what you just said impacts exactly the big news that everybody saw. Ilya Topuria, Charles Oliveira. Ilya's moving up. He's going to face Charles Oliveira for the lightweight title. And then we know that Islam Makhachev is going to move up as well.
Yep.
He'll face Jack Della Maddalena.
Straight up belts.
Straight up belts, which that's a good thing.
That is an amazing thing. But we also were like, there's no way that Islam's going to have to vacate it. There's no way Ilya's going to fight for a interim belt.
Right.
And both, one did not happen and one certainly did happen.
So listen, I say big fights, and those are big fights.
Those are big fights, man.
Those are big fights.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest with you. And you know me. I'm positive silver lining guy. I'm like, hey.
100%.
I mean,
100%.
You know,
I mean, next to me, you are the most positive person out there.
Well, I guess I'm very understanding sometimes. Like when people go, why didn't they make this fight? And I'm like, well, you got to understand, geographically speaking, this one was more logical. And also, they had made a promise to someone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, right now, I can do that. Why is Islam Makhachev fighting for the welterweight title? Well, listen, Islam's that guy, and he's part of the Habib family, and, you know, everything that they've done, and you know what I mean? And now you got this side. He had always wanted to move up to welterweight, and he'd wanted this, but he wasn't going to fight his buddy, Bilal, and so here's the opportunity. And Jack Della Maddalena just announced himself as a superstar. So it's a big fight, and that's why it came together. I can do that.
Yeah.
Ilya Topuria and Charles Oliveira, I can say, man, Ilya Topuria, that dude beat the two GOATs in a row at featherweight. He said,
you can't argue with Oliveira's side of the deal. He was the number two. I mean, like, that's legit.
Right.
That's legit.
I can make that, right? And these are big fights.
Yeah.
But it's not the fight I wanted to see. It's not the fight I wanted to see. And now, compounding issues, you got Ilya and Islam barking at each other.
Yeah.
Or Ilya and Ali barking at each other. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, you know, you guys could have fought, right?
That's it! Why are we talking to each other?
I mean, that's what Ilya the whole time said he wanted to fight him.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the whole reason he wanted to move up. He believed he could fight him.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, to think that he wouldn't chirp a little bit about Islam running away, I mean, it's there. It's just there for the asking. I mean, like, he did everything. This is a guy that's been asking for him, John, and he wanted to prove he was the pound per pound guy. And now you've taken that away from him. If you can't fight the pound per pound number one guy, it's hard for you to say that you're the number one pound per pound guy. And
right.
I think at the end of the day, Ilya wants to have that belt.
It wasn't just that he wanted to move up.
He wants to be known as the pound for pound best.
I'm close enough in weight to the guy that's pound for pound number one.
Yep.
That I want to fight him.
Yep. It was a two-pronged attack. But, I mean, I get it. I mean, he's within his rights to be like, dude, you're running. And if anything, that certainly – if it causes Islam to say, hey, don't worry, I'll be back. We're just not hearing that. He wants to take over the welterweight and be the new big whatever and just keep being the pound-for-pound guy. Because it's going to be hard to deny it because Dana's just going to go into even double fold. If he can beat Jack – and then say, like, he gave up the belt. He didn't lose the belt, guys. He's still a two-belt champion. And then going up and then beating Jack, he's going to say, how can you deny that he's not still the pound-for-pound greatest?
Right.
You know, how can you not say he's the pound-for-pound number one guy if he can go up and fight in the division, you know, 15 pounds heavier than what he has been fighting and beat the guy that just beat the guy that everybody was saying was almost unbeatable. Maybe not have been the most popular, but he was certainly seemingly unbeatable.
Yeah, he had this amazing win streak together.
And he made it look
easy. I would like that approach from Islam is like, hey, you know, keep my belt warm. Like, I'm not even, you know, hey, Ilya, I'm not even convinced you're going to beat Charles Oliveira, so you might want to keep your mouth shut. But in case you do, understand you're just holding on to my belt. I'm going to win this one, and then I'll come take
it
right
back.
I'll be right back to my house to get it from you. Why don't you keep it warm for me on your couch, and I'll come right back to my house. And if you take that approach, and Ilya can't say nothing.
No, he'd be like, all right, well, come get it.
Yeah.
Come get it. And then it's on Ilya to make sure he gets it. And then if Ilya doesn't, then Islam could just be like, you didn't even get through Charles. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, like, Charles, I'll be back or whatever. But, I mean, for them to make it sound like, oh, this move, we were been planning on it. You know, the weight cut was so hard. The weight cut was rough. You know, this he's going to do better. Like, I don't remember there ever really being an issue where we were like, oh, man, Islam needs to leave one lightweight. You know, it's just way too hard on his body.
I mean, his weight cuts aren't good.
I mean, they're not pretty, but he makes it.
Them.
He makes it.
Yep. but he makes them.
And he makes it, you know, and he still performs incredibly well. So yep. It's like, it's not like he was like, I just can't do it anymore, guys. My last performance showed that I just don't have it, you know, like, it's just interesting. I feel like there's a lot of narratives that people are putting out to try to make it seem like this was the only option for him was to go up. I'm like, that was not the case.
Definitely not.
People make it sound like we've been waiting, chomping at the bit, you know, like, oh, you know, sad to hear that Bilal lost it, you know, but that was all we needed to make the move. You know, I'm guarantee there's a lot of money and things that are happening behind the scenes to make this move the time for it to be. But everybody was certainly saying that Illy was promised, you know, not that we saw anything on paper,
knew,
was promised.
But we knew there was no way Illy was giving up his title
for an
without
interim.
The understanding, for an interim, that he was fighting for a belt. Title. Right? Because not only are we talking about status in that situation, but we're talking about the financial ramifications as well. We know that you get pay-per-view points when you're fighting for an undisputed title. You can get it for an interim title if it's negotiated, but sometimes that's not the case. So we knew that he wasn't going to hand up not only the belt, but also the financial ramifications without getting the promise. So we knew that was going to happen.
And you got to think, the UFC has done a really, really bad job recently of, we have an interim belt that's been out there since November of 2023 that they have not worked to unify. They are working to make the fight happen. But who wants to fight for an interim with no guarantee that you're actually going to get to fight for the belt? Like, the whole thing that's going on, and we talked a bit with, like, the heavyweight belt, where you have a champ that's just off partying somewhere, and then you got the interim that's just chilling. How can you then ever promise an interim in another division because you can't show that you can unify the belts?
I hadn't even thought about that, but that is phenomenal. If you're sitting in negotiations, whether you're the client or you're the manager, and they say, listen, we understand where you're coming from, but what we want to do right now is we'll do an interim title first. You win that.
Yeah.
And then you're there, you know. But that way we put a belt around you, but we just don't want to strip the guy right now. And you just sit back and look at him and go, how's that working out for Tom Aspinall right now?
Yeah.
What do they even say? Yeah. I mean, you know, what a point to make.
It's a unique situation. I thought that the thing right now with the fact that you had these two gentlemen that both vacated the belt to go for an opportunity at the belt, in a way, was a sign that they're looking at the right direction. Like, it's like
we're not doing
this
anymore.
Did they learn their lesson?
We're not doing this anymore.
We put ourselves in a bind that we're having a hard time of getting out, and it just sort of makes it – I think everybody's at the point where they're just like, interims are garbage. We understand you need to do it for your pay-per-view, but if there's no guarantee to solidify it, you want me to defend the interim belt multiple times while the champ's not injured, you just can't get to a contract that you guys agree upon. Strip them, and they won't strip them. And at what point do you finally backtrack and say, okay, well, we will strip them?
All right.
Or just give him the money that he needs and make it happen. It's just ridiculous.
So we got some fights that did get made, a big fight that didn't get made. I know we got some comments from patreon.com/TheMMAROadshow that I want to get to because they touch on both those subjects. While you pull those up, I did want to ask, because I thought it was funny, and I like Aljamain Sterling a lot, and I know a lot of people don't like Aljamain Sterling. And listen, I'm not taking a shot at Islam Makhachev here or Bilal Muhammad or any of that. But did you see Aljamain pointing out, like, I thought y'all were boys, and then your boy loses the belt, and, like, before the next morning, you're like, well, guess I'm going up for the title. I was like, yo. I mean, that was kind of always the understanding, right? Like, Bilal always said, like, I know my brother wants to be a 170-pound champion, but I'm never going to fight him, even if that means I have to go to 185. So I doubt it hurt his feelings when he, you know, lost to Jack Della Maddalena to think he knew that Islam always wanted to come up and win that belt. But I did think that was pretty savvy observation from Aljo. Like, can you not wait till, like, Monday or something? Like, just be like, well, since it's out in the ether that this is not happening. So, all right, so I know we had a comment about the titles and people moving divisions. And I thought this was spot on because – I think it echoes a lot of what I feel right now and the frustrations I feel right now about the fact that I'm excited for these fights, but I don't know that they're necessarily the fights I want to see. So
yeah, in one comment, SNC Davern was like, everybody wants to move up, move up. I prefer fighters staying at their own weights, to be honest. Apart from the odd super fight, I don't like it being the norm.
I agree. And you guys have heard me say it for a long time, and I'm going to say it again. Even though I'm glad these fights got made, and it's big fights, and I think people are going to be excited for them, and certainly when Fight Week rolls around, these are superstars of the sport. It's going to be amazing. But I agree, man. To me, greatness is not being a two-division champion. As much as, you know, again, and I'll say this, and I believe it, Conor McGregor, the night that he had two belts over his shoulder in Madison Square Garden. Incredible image.
Yep.
Incredible moment.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Conor McGregor is not one of the greatest fighters of all time. He's just not. Yep. He's never defended a title.
And how many defenses does he have?
Zero.
He certainly collected.
Zero. And I don't fault him. Like I said, Conor McGregor won the game of prize fighting. I mean, yeah. He's the richest man ever from the sport of mixed martial arts. Like he did. And make sure people understand, this is not an insult to Conor McGregor. I've always said, if you wrote a book about the history of mixed martial arts and it didn't have a chapter on Conor McGregor, you have a faulty book. Like, that man changed the game and is an iconic superstar. But when I talk about greatness, when you're having the silly Mount Rushmore argument, or you're talking about the impossible to debate pound for pound talk, to me, the first thing I look at is title defenses. I want to know that against your peers in your era, every man that came in that cage with a target on you and wanted to take that belt was rebuffed and turned away. Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, Demetrius Johnson, John Jones, you know, 6'8". I mean, just racking up title defenses. To me, that is greatness. I'll take this. Give me George St. Pierre's. When I talk about the greatness of George St. Pierre, you'll never hear me reference the fact that he's a two-weight champion. I don't even care about the fact that he came in and cherry-picked Michael Bisping.
Yes, he did.
You know what I mean? To
like
win a second
time. People forget about that one.
Cherry-picked Michael
wait,
Bisping.
Wait, he was a middleweight champ?
Right? I don't care. Cherry-picked it, gave it back, never defended it. To me, that has zero to do with his greatness. When I talk about the greatness of George St. Pierre, I talk about the era in which he was just racking up title defenses.
Yep.
So this idea, like Ilya Topuria, I guess kind of has an argument because he beat the two GOATs back-to-back in devastating fashion, right?
Yep.
Islam, I guess, kind of has an argument because he's been in the reins for a while. But he's – and again, if you use the fact that he beat Alexander Volkanovski twice against him, you're a jackass.
Yeah,
so you know what I mean? Like,
it goes down.
It wasn't his fault. Yeah. It wasn't like Islam was like, bro – bring me the featherweight champ. In fact, bring me the bantamweight champ. You know what I mean? Like it's.
And if you're at it, you want to throw the strawweight there too? I'll slap that bitch.
give me Zhang Weili right now. She don't say. Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
So you can. So
Zhang Weili would take that fight. She'd be like, okay, let's go.
Because it's here's what's funny is people are using that to insult Islam. It's like, bro, you beat a featherweight twice, and he's like, that's exactly why I don't want to face a featherweight again. So you can't use that against him because that's why he's saying I don't want to face Ilya, because if I beat him, you're just gonna keep saying
just
I beat
keep
featherweights.
Yep.
So you can't use that against him, but I like extended title defense. So I completely agree with this. I hope we can get past this era where it's like, you know what I want to do? I want to win a belt, and then I want to move up. Like, to me, like you said, it sounds like maybe they're learning their lesson and we're going away from him.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do think that if you want to build superstars, if you want to build greatness, if you want to build people that we talk about as all-time greats, it's people that rack up title defenses. And just going up and – now, look, if you're that good – and you're willing to stay that busy. Like Conor McGregor said he was going to do it. Obviously, then you had Floyd Mayweather come in and all this stuff. And obviously, you know.
No one can. I mean,
you can't
the amount of money.
The amount of money
he made, like,
the way that changed his life.
Yeah.
You know. But he said in the beginning, he was like, I'll defend both, right? Like, I'll. Because if you could do that, like, if you're a champion of two divisions and you can defend one belt twice a year and the other belt twice a year, like, if you can do that, if you can keep that, which is damn near impossible, I'm telling you right now, to have four championship camps in 1 year, to do it in two different weight classes, knowing that you're facing the absolute best in the world, it's impossible. But if you're going to at least try to do it, I can support that. If two challengers from each weight class are getting a shot each year, then kudos to you. You deserve that opportunity. But other than that, we got to stop this shit.
Yeah, because I'll read this last one, and this kind of touches a little bit, and this is from Mark Fellows. And this goes back to the heavyweight. He says, Tom Aspinall needs to compete for the heavyweight belt no later than the MSG card in November. Otherwise, too many fans are becoming alienated from the sport. As a longtime boxing fan decades ago, I slowly switched over to MMA, one major reason being the UFC were giving fans the best possible matchups, while different promotions across the sport of boxing often prevented that, and it became frustrating. Aspinall, currently in his prime, won the interim title belt in November of 2023.
That's crazy.
Defended it once, and now has nothing scheduled that we know of while Jones is partying in Thailand. What are we doing here? What are we doing indeed?
What are we doing? Yeah, I'll agree with and
do you think people are getting alienated? Do you think these matchups and all this stuff, you know, when they know, you know, or is it like smoke and mirrors, like, here, but look over here, look over here. Do people forget enough? Or, I mean, do you think people are fired up, or do you think people are just like, oh, just the UFC is going to – there's no sense falling in love with the division because you never know what's going to happen with it, because it doesn't feel like – I think at one point people used to be like, oh, the heavyweight, man, you knew what you're going to get. It was always a banger, and now it's like the heavyweight, you don't see it act – it doesn't feel active like the other divisions.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting because, you know, I used to talk about this a little bit with, like, Valentina Shevchenko at 125, where she was so dominant – that it made it difficult for me to get excited about other women's flyweight contender matchups, because yeah. I knew that, like, you're watching two people that may elevate themselves to a shot at the title but have no chance at dethroning the champion. But you do need the champion to be active, right? So, yeah. I mean, so to me, there's always that delicate balance of dominant champions versus titles changing hands so the division stays fresh. But unfortunately, right now at heavyweight, and I'm a John Jones guy. Like, greatest of all time, Hall of Famer, all the, I'm a John Jones guy, but I tend to agree with Mark Fellows now. If Madison Square Garden comes and goes, which I'd heard, and I haven't checked on this in a while, I'd heard, obviously Madison Square Garden is like always November. It's been November for years. I'd heard they were looking to move that up a couple months just for this year. I don't know why. I don't know if it was a scheduling conflict or whatever. I just heard they were looking at another day. I don't know if that's still the case. I've been a little bit busy with CFFC, of course, and selling into my new role there. But let's say it is November. Let's say they don't end up earlier. If Madison Square Garden comes and goes and John Jones is not facing Tom Aspinall for the title, you got to take it from him.
Yeah.
You got to.
You think they dug themselves a hole? They were trying to get that, keep that Stipe fight so hard that they're like, you can't possibly strip John Jones. Are you going to tell me we need to strip John Jones, the greatest of all time? And they made the fight. They got the fight. Now, do you stick to your guns and you allow him to just go off and never agree? Or do you finally have to kind of eat crow and say, you know, we tried, we gave him 2 years,
yeah,
and he didn't fight, so yeah, we had to strip him.
Yeah, you have to at that point. Yeah, you just, and that's what you have to say, right? I mean, yeah, Dana has been a big John Jones supporter, so it wouldn't look as if like he's being vindictive, you know what I mean? But I just think you say, listen, I mean, we got to keep the division moving, and you yeah, can, and I'm sure he would.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a great fight, but is it like a $100 million payout fight?
No.
I know John wants to get this most money, but at the end of the day, it's still just an MMA fight that could possibly be done in 30 seconds.
Yep.
I get it. You want to get paid $100 million for it, yep, but it's not deserving of
$100 million. I mean, look, the $30 million he wants, I think people are starting to realize that the published paydays aren't the actual paydays. I mean, people have made some good money along the ways. Can it be a $30 million fight? I think so. Can it be a $50 million fight? Maybe. But with each passing day, isn't there less appetite? Like, it's almost like, I mean, it's like, okay, finally, we're getting to it. Finally. Not like, oh, dude, let's go. Yeah. We got to, you know what I mean? Like, that's, and I understand. And listen, again, I'm a John Jones guy. If John Jones says, I don't feel like fighting right now, fine. We can't make you fight. You've done everything. You have nothing left to prove. But you're holding our title. And we got to keep this thing going a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I agree with Mark Fellows. If he's not doing it, you know, and Dana keeps saying, we're going to get this done. We're going to get this done. And
he said that all through last year.
But yeah, but it's been said for a while. Yeah, if he doesn't do it by Madison Square Garden, you got to pull it from him. You just have to. And then you put Tom Aspinall against – maybe you just – I mean, at that point, I think you just award him the title. You just promote him to undisputed champion, and maybe do a press tour and then just put him against –
you can't make him have to take the fight for the belt if he's already got the interim. If you strip the other one.
Yeah, you just promote him. Yeah, you just promote him. You're promoted. You know.
And then the very next fight would just be a defense of that belt.
Exactly.
You know, don't make him earn it. Like, you go in as the champ, you know.
Yep.
So.
Well, big news. Hopefully they get that other big news announced soon. But it is. But to me, it is nice to get these big fights on the calendar.
There's certainly big fights.
Because I think a lot of people, were kind of starting to look and going, man, the UFC's kind of stale right now. There's not going on. And
what's
going to
be International Fight Week? Yeah. You know, we've been waiting. Everybody was kept coming up with all these things. But after a while, you're just like, bro, it's not that far out. Like, give us something.
Throw something on the calendar.
It's like the Sphere, where we're like, are they ever going to release the headliners? They're just like, the Sphere shows next week. Come. See who's headlining.
It'll be great. We'll see. You know what? Speaking of with that, did you see my I know we got a fight to talk about. Did you see my tweet that I sent out the other night about the ticket sales for UFC 317 in New Orleans?
Yeah, something about StubHub.
Yeah, so somebody tweeted it. It was just, you know how like Twitter sometimes you get just like random, like what is it, the For You or whatever. It's just not people you follow and stuff pops up.
Boy, mine gives me all kinds of garbage in that For You thing.
So you know what I've noticed lately is if you, because I do that too, like I started.
So I'll just jump over to the following one because the For You fixes, feels like
I think it fixes your algorithm a little bit if you just stay in the For You for a while.
Or you mean the very?
I mean, if you stay in the following. Yeah, because it's funny because you go to the For You and then you get like some like political or something, whatever.
You get ads and all these people
and you
that
see
are sponsored.
It, and maybe it does like get your attention for a second. Like, I only really care about MMA on Twitter, but if I see other things, like I'm gonna look at it for a second. But then all of a sudden, like the algorithm starts saying, "Oh, you like that stuff, so we're gonna fill you with that."
Skews very quickly.
So then, very quickly, I feel like if I look at one tweet on some subject, I'm getting 100 tweets on that subject. Like, bro, I just got so. Anyway, I figured if you go back to your following, I feel like it kind of cleanses your thing. Yeah.
I found myself now when I get so much stuff fed to me on that. The For You, I just don't even open the app anymore.
You don't even want to because I don't want to see it. Anyway, this was, Tuesday night, I guess. Somebody tweeted out, and seeing as how I gave my thoughts on it, you know I'd had a couple frosty beverages. but I stand behind because normally if I'm sober, I'm just like,
you're not tweeting.
But if I had a couple cocktails, I'm going to weigh in. But I stand behind this. So this guy tweets, so the Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway tickets drop. I've been wanting to go. $638 each for nosebleeds. Wanted to bring my wife and son. That's $1,900 just for tickets. Doesn't count my hotel, gas, food. Dana, the UFC has priced the fans out, man. And I was like, first I was like, $600 for nosebleeds in New Orleans? I'm like, that can't be right. But I pulled it up, and I looked, damn, sure is. But then I was like, wait a minute. I don't even think 317 tickets have gone on sale yet. And so I went to the UFC site, and it's like, tickets aren't on sale yet. So, you know, I understand the – and it's funny because people have tried to, like, explain to me, well, that's called ticket prospecting, and these people put – I understand the process. I understand the business. I get it. Scalpers promise tickets at a high price knowing that they'll be able to find them lower or they hope for lower, and they'll be able to make a profit off you. Get it. Got it. I totally understand the business practice. But I said it. My tweet was, how is this not illegal? Tickets aren't even on sale for the event. If you're balling and just want to guarantee you're good, I guess this is a fair service. But this seems like it's just duping people who aren't aware. They're essentially buying ticket futures. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening a lot because StubHub, and they make it look so much just like Ticketmaster or any other ticketing service that it looks like it's the official place to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people. In fact, I think I saw Brendan Schaub retweet the same tweet with like a, oh my gosh, these prices are crazy, you know, the facepalm, whatever. It's made to look like it's officially. And again, I don't have a problem with this service.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're taking advantage of fans who don't realize what's happening here. And I feel like there needs to be some law where this is clearly marked. Because again, if you're just balling and you're like, I don't mind dropping extra coin. There's no way I'm staying online and hitting refresh when tickets go on sale. I'll pay the premium just to know I'm sitting exactly where I want to sit. I don't care what I'm paying for it.
What happens if they can't deliver the tickets?
They'll just put you somewhere else and be like, oh, we couldn't deliver, so we put you here. We made it better for you, you know, is my assumption, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think they got to fix because they're, and again, and then you're putting – and don't get me wrong, UFC tickets are not cheap. Like, it is expensive to go.
Yeah.
But they're not that expensive. Yeah. And so you're screwing over fans that want to go. I feel like the government – I don't know if it's the government or whatever. I just feel like they have – well, I guess it has to be the government if they're going to make a rule, but – I just feel like you have to be more clear about what you're selling here. You're selling tickets that aren't even on sale yet, and you got people thinking that's what the price is, and I think that's shitty.
And you know, you figure the UFC could easily, if they cared about it, could re say something like, hey, guys, the tickets have not even been able to.
I would think they
like
wanna
stop the practice, you know, and say, hey, we'll make it so that you cannot resell our tickets or something.
I would think that they would want to do that, right? Because, again, this dude tagged Dana White and said, Dana White, the UFC has priced the fans out, man. And listen, you could argue that what their prices are, they have priced the fans out. Although they're still usually, unless you're in like New York, there's some reasonable tickets in there somewhere. But, yeah, you're impacted. So I would think that this is screwing the UFC's business, that they would want to come after these people and say, this is not a cool practice. You're making it look like we're way more expensive than we actually are.
Yeah, or just be like, shut your face till we release the ticket prices.
Right? I would think that should be the rule, is that you can't have resale tickets if the tickets aren't even actually on sale yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what are you reselling?
So, anyway. All right, there's my diatribe over. I guess we'll talk about the UFC real quick. You were at Media Day yesterday. I mean, obviously not the biggest card whatsoever. I will say I'm both shocked and not shocked to see the betting line on Michael Morales. What a massive favorite he is against Gilbert Burns. I talked to Gilbert Burns a few weeks back, and he said a lot of things that he's saying now in more depth, which is, hey, listen, I'll be the first to admit, man, I got a little bit off the path, I guess, a little bit. You know, I made some cash and I lost focus and I kind of lost my edge a little bit. And, I'm back to that. These losses hurt me. If that's the case, he could be a problem for Michael Morales, because Michael Morales is a spectacular fighter. You don't get to 17-0 without being spectacular.
Yep.
But Gilbert Burns is dangerous. And if he is back, if he is focused, or unfortunately that's the reality of the sport, you can think that it was just a mental edge, but really your skills were declining, you're getting older, your body's been through a lot, and it's not like it was just, oh, I didn't have the switch flipped in the right place, and now it is, you know, and now I'm all good. So I was a little bit shocked by the line. I'm not shocked at the same time, because you have an undefeated fighter against somebody that's had a handful of losses in a row. Granted, it's been against really good competition.
Yeah, but for the first time in his career, he's got 3 losses in a row.
Yeah.
It is great ones, but you raise a good point. I mean, and he's 38 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's not a young kid anymore. But he did say some great things. I mean, just like they always do. They'll come into a media day and they say things, and we're like, okay, I think his head's in the right place. And, you know, one thing that he did say is, you know, like, he had some people that he trusted and, you know, and he appreciates and he respects their thoughts, put him off to the side and let him have it. Said, this is what you think you're doing. This is what you think you're preparing. This is how you're doing this, but this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you're doing wrong. And he was like, dude, I almost got brought to tears. You know, it's like that stuff you don't want to hear, but you need to hear.
Everybody needs people like that around them, though.
100%. Like, if you're just getting yes men around you, that's not going to help you. I get it. I'd love if I had a hype man around me all the time. It's like, Kenny, everything you do is absolutely fantastic, brother.
Flavor Flav, just come roll with me all day long.
Could I be any better? No, you're the best already. You're like, you're right. I was going to work out, but now I'm going to go fucking drink and just be a shithead. So I like that and I appreciate that. But, you know, at some point, you know, I mean, you are going to run up against these guys that are, we say it's third time. I mean, like, Gilbert is still relevant, but in terms of like whose time is it right now, it's a Michael Morales time. I mean, like, this kid's shooting upwards and he's fantastic. And I mean, like, he has incredible takedown. He's got powerful hands. He's good on the ground himself. I mean, against a guy that, while has good hands, they're not as good as it was. I mean, like, there was a point where I think people didn't give him credit for his hands. And we saw those days where it played out and it did well. But the last 3 opponents didn't take him lightly. They addressed everything. You know, there's so much tape out there. There's not like there's going to be like, oh, man, Gilbert's going to pull some secret move out.
Right.
You know, granted, there always could be something that he's been working for this and that just shows up that night. And we're going to be like, wow, I didn't even know he had that in arsenal.
Yep.
But people know what Gilbert's capable of. And, you know, and if you can defend the takedown, if you have good hands and if you're faster and you're moved around quicker, which this younger guy is going to be, I can see why the odds, but it's still, anytime you look at Gilbert and you're like, you think that, oh, he's coming in at, where is it?
Minus 850 for Michael Morales and plus 575
for Gilbert. I think that's what it was the same the other day. So it hasn't moved since the other day, but that's huge.
It's insane. Like,
it's huge.
To me, and again, I mean, we have our friends over at CloudBet and we throw down a couple bucks. Neither one of us are professional gamblers by any stretch of imagination.
But we're doing all right.
But we're doing all right. But, you know, I'm not betting the type of things that can,
pay mortgages and fund retirements and things like that. But bottom line, the way I look at this fight is if you're in a pick'em league, you're picking Michael Morales all day. But if you're laying down a little bit of bet, I'm not throwing down $850 to win 100 on Michael Morales, but I might throw 100 to win that plus 575 on Gilbert Burns, because that's, I mean, the dude has the ability to finish the fight on the feet. He has the ability to finish fights on the ground. And it's a mixed martial arts fight, right? Like, anything can happen in MMA. That's the thing we love about it so much. And if you're getting a dude as dangerous as Gilbert Burns at 575, you got to sprinkle a little something on there, right?
Yeah, I would.
I'm looking forward to that one. Again, huge odds in the co-main event as well. Paul Craig, the big underdog at plus 390 against Rodolfo Bellotto minus 520. Yeah, my wife is funny. She's like, where's this guy from? I was like, for it being your second language, it's really hard to understand. I was like, yeah. It's hard for us as our first language to understand.
And it's gotten better.
Yeah.
It's gotten better when we first on the scene. I mean, like, did you tell her how we used to have to go back and like, can you say again what you're saying there?
Never
what?
Forget that in the airport. You know, can you translate? Somebody's, has to go, whatever. That was the greatest story ever. Like, Paul, somebody, I remember because we were sitting there and it was somebody on our team was like, guys, do y'all know what he was saying here? And we're like, I don't. But I'm in the same bar with him right now. Should I go ask him?
Like, we're going to go.
Paul, this is going to sound stupid. What are you saying right here? That was a great story.
That's funny. But no, I mean, what a great guy, man. And it's funny, guys. You know, he's one of these guys that is universally loved. People love his story. They love where he's coming from. They love that he was a teacher. You know, he speaks well. But it's just hard, you know. Nobody likes to see him lose, and at some point, you know, you kind of feel like you're almost kind of topped out, you know. And I hate saying that about him, but when you watch a fight and everybody's like, "Oh man, this is good. We're gonna see some hands or whatever," and it's like, boom, he drops to his back. It's like, bro, stop. Yep. Like, I'm literally, we're pulling for you, but like, you're making it hard, you know. But he's one that I think universally, when I was looking at some of the comments on YouTube, everybody's like, I love the dude, but he just fucking, he's not doing it, you know. And you hate to hear that, you know, but and especially with three fights. But I think he has the realization. He understands the severity of what another loss would be.
Embraced it, man. Yeah. I respect that, man. Yeah. I respect somebody that is not trying to minimize the position they're in or to ignore it. You know, he understands. Like, he straight up said it. This could be the end.
Yeah.
You know?
That's tough. That's tough.
Tough against a stud opponent.
Yeah. Bellotto's the real deal, man. He's got powerful hands. But, man, wouldn't it be something? This guy, I think everybody's thinking, you know, because the odds on this one were pretty deep as well.
Huge. Minus 520 for Rodolfo Bellotto, plus 390 for Paul Craig.
Yeah.
So,
dude, if Craig was able – Paul Craig was able to go in there and pull some out, like, safe, he's able to just get him down and is able to pull something out.
Be amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
I think everybody
gracious.
Cheers for the guy, man.
That'd be goodness.
You also got to see Sadiq Youssef and Myron Santos. That one,
it's gonna be a fun fight.
Good fight as well. Yep. Almost a pick'em. Minus 130 for Myron Santos. Sadiq Youssef moving up to lightweight, and suggesting perhaps this might be his weight class in the future. But I don't think that's 100% set just
yet. And both guys, I mean, like, you know, like, that's a heavy. Santos was saying he cuts 40 to make 45.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's a lot.
Ridiculous. I'm like, when do you begin that process? You know, I'm trying to lose weight now, and I'm thinking, like, oh, bro, you got 2 weeks. You got to drop 40 pounds.
Started cutting in 2019.
I've cut for 10 years, and I can't get those 40 pounds off. And he's like, I do this every time. You know, so depending on how it goes, I mean, this might be a permanent move, you know. So it'd be interesting. But, yeah, Sadiq, man, he's always fun. He's always fun on fight week.
I like it a lot.
There was one of the journalists next to me that came in to cover Michael Morales and the Ecuadorian side of things. I can't remember what the outlet was, but he was just like, I like that guy. He's funny. I like his personality. I was like, dude, Sadiq is a ball of fun, man. He's always great on fight week. He's always talks like he's just like that. He doesn't have a fight a few days away. Like, he's like way too happy to be going in a fist fight, you know. And he's just like always fun. But I thought that was cool. And I was like, yeah, dude, we love Sadiq.
Sometimes,
man,
when we're looking for like commentators or something, I always throw his name in the hat.
I think
he'd be really good. Like,
I think he would too.
Incredibly knowledgeable, passionate about the sport, and fun to be around.
Man, he would do really.
Yeah,
well.
I'm gonna try to call a fight with him soon. Really, I mean, obviously, we always want CM Punk to be around when he can, but.
But I mean, it also, you know, it's diversity, and it just, it's a whole nother market, you know, like, I mean, whatever, people are like, oh, anti-DEI, whatever, whatever. Bro, I don't want to see just a couple white dudes, whatever. I want to see the different flavor out there. Even when they have, when Gina's up there, she's fantastic.
Yep.
I could see where somebody like, oh, why is a woman up there? People have said that before fucking Senko started crushing
it's
it.
True.
Senko crushes it. Give different people a chance, and then, like, you never know. And, like, Sadiq's a fucking killer personality. Yeah. And, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that don't watch the sport because they don't feel like it's there for them as well. Like, he ticks a lot of boxes, you know, and I think it would be really, really cool to see some different flavor of bros up in there, you know, like, so.
I've always liked Sadiq, man. I'd love to get a chance to call some fights sometimes. All right, rest of the card. Those were only six that you had at Media Day. But
thank goodness. Thank you, universe. And they took a while to get started. I was like, are they trying to stretch it out like we got 12 dudes?
Like, let's just run it together. Please run it together. Yeah, long drive for weigh-ins tomorrow, huh? Got to go out to Santa Fe.
Why is it so weird?
Well, they got it way out there.
Well, I did look down into the space where the weigh-in and the construction there, where the floor looked almost like, I don't know if it looked tore up,
right.
Like they had the carpet gone and like it was whatever. So I was like, okay, they're doing something. Every time I go by the building,
man, it is expanding.
Different. I took some pictures and I meant to tweet it out there. It's just crazy. I mean, it's expanding. It looks, it's coming together. The parking lot's changed. So parking Saturday is supposed to be kind of an issue. I assume they're going to just route us all the way to the back because they're blacktopping the front portion, and they reopened the throughput way, and they shrunk a little bit of like the handicaps parking.
Interesting.
So the front parking that was in the front is not as much as it was before, so right. I think they're going to start routing everybody to that additional parking that's been in the back now for a little bit, but nobody really uses. So, yeah, but now I think they're probably going to work on finished blacktop because they had part of it, and I felt bad driving over. There was, like, nobody really said anything. I walked into the meeting. I was like, was I not supposed to park here? I was like, they're like, no, you're fine. And then when I left, there was,
like,
nobody else.
There
was nobody else in the front parking lot. I think everybody either left. And I was like, darn, were they trying to, like, blacktop over again and finish it? And I stopped it.
They're like, well, I guess work's over for the days, boys. Some jackass parked right on our work site. Like,
we know if they're construction, they're like, oh, it's our day's still paid.
That's
you know,
right.
They're like, go ahead, bro.
I'm anxious to see what the place looks like when it's all done, man. I know,
but
I know
going out to Santa Fe sucks. I'm like, even the Palace Station's closer. Both places, the internet struggle, but I do have that new device. So hopefully the junkie stream's going to be solid tomorrow.
Nice.
So, yes, be sure to tune in.
Tune in for that. Dustin Stolzfus versus Nersultan Rusiboyev and Julina Rosa, Melkazio Costa rounds out the main card.
That should be a fun one.
That's definitely a good card on there. Former CFSC champ Elise Reed down in the prelims. She's got a tough matchup with Denise Gomez. I like to see Tisha Pennington.
Elise is a huge, like, Denise is -625.
That's crazy, man.
That's a big one.
Tisha Pennington and Luana Pinheiro. Surprised to see that one as the opening card or the opening fight of the entire night. But always good to see Tisha Pennington in there. So look forward to that. Last thing, I want to give a shout out to PFL. They're launching the PFL Pacific. That's official now. All that news came out for 2026. They continue to reveal these international leagues, which I will continue to contend should be the core of their business, man. I think it's smart to go deliver in these markets and to really kind of give prime time opportunities and local fighters a spot to shine in those markets and then hopefully make their way to the big show and the big stage. And I know that you know, they've had to let some people go, Patchy Mix the latest, but I think that's good, man. If you're not going to be able to pay them and, you know, those big paychecks would financially impact you, I think you're doing the right thing by letting these guys go, letting them go fight where they want to go fight. And I know it sucks because people are like, oh, well, what'd you even get Bellator for if you were going to not, you know, fight these guys and you're going to let them go? It's a good thing they're letting them go, man. It really is a good thing they're letting them go so they can go compete. And, you know, I know he's not everybody's cup of tea with Ali Abdelaziz, you know, but what I've seen him post on social media, it's true. It's like, look, don't cheer for the PFL to fail. I mean, just try to push them in the right direction because fighters need options. If PFL goes away, it's not good for the market, man. Fighters need places to fight. They need opportunities. It does look like ONE Championship is doing some more MMA now, but they're still only doing a couple of fights a card. You know, for a while, it was almost exclusively kickboxing, Muay Thai, and submission grappling. They're adding some more MMA back in, but it's still just a couple fights, so there's not a lot of spots there. You know, you got KSW, you've got Optima, you got Ryzen that's doing some good things over in Japan. So, I mean, you know, but as far as big, you know, those are kind of localized organizations. As far as international, outside the UFC, it's just the PFL. And so while you might not love some of their business practices, you know, try to point out the things that are good, because I do think they are doing some good things. And I think if they can just get over this hump of this, you know, letting these Bellator athletes go if they need to, I think
the Patchy one, I mean, people were asking for that one.
Needed to happen.
That one needed to happen, and people are already like, UFC, you know he's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to make an immediate impact.
Talking about maybe the Mario Bautista fight right away.
Dude, Patchy Mix, that was a great get for the UFC. He's a stud, man. That was awesome.
He's an absolute stud.
I'm glad that they finally sorted that. I know a lot of people are just like, what is the deal?
I wanted to try to get him on our I think there was maybe some concern, but I wanted to try to get him on our upcoming grappling card. I thought that would have been great. We got a fun one, but I think
he was
kind of in the middle of all this stuff and getting it worked out. But now that he's in the UFC, maybe we can get him on a future grappling card.
He's a beast, man.
Yeah, I'd love to see him there.
I'd be interested to see him going, because he's about the same weight as like the Ruotolo brothers, one of those dudes.
Oh, those guys.
Because they're savages, man. Like, that's what it's so cool when you get to see grappling guys really get highlighted, when people realize like, wow, this is what you focus on. But now they're starting to dabble in with the MMA stuff, and it's like, no, you don't want to fight Patchy in an MMA fight, but grappling would be an interesting match.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week, but we've got two events next week on Memorial Day weekend. Dean Thomas will be on the mic with me, but we're doing submission grappling on the Friday night, and then we're doing MMA on Saturday. But honestly, Pat Sabatini and Joe Selecki in the main event, which will be a great grappling match for our first ever belt. Kevin Dantzler's back in the co-main event. There's going to be a belt on the line there. But Chris Weidman, we're going to see Chris Weidman going against Pat Downey at 215 pounds. Not a belt for that one, but that one should be very, very exciting as well. We got a women's 125-pound tournament. There's some good grappling matches coming up, so we'll talk more about that next week. Last thing I want to plug real quick, my episode of The Grudge aired that I was breaking down and reliving Ronda Rousey versus Miesha Tate and the rivalry between them. And it was
Is that Vice?
It was on Vice Sports. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So it just debuted last night. So if you get a chance to watch it on Vice Sports, go check it out. Let me know what you think. It was cool to be a part. I taped, and then John Anik taped immediately after me. Like, we ran into each other. I didn't know he was going to tape that day, but I ran into him as I was leaving. We kind of exchanged some pleasantries and stuff, and I headed out. But it was cool the way it did it. It was the way, and it didn't necessarily get presented so much, but I thought they did a good job. It was basically they told each of us to kind of, like, I was supposed to not really argue it from Miesha Tate's point of view, but talk about the rivalry from Miesha Tate's point of view, and then John was supposed to talk about it from Ronda's point of view. That was the initial idea as they taped it, but the way they promoted or presented it, because once you start talking, it's kind of hard to be like, I'm just championing for one side or the other. You just kind of relive it.
Especially when you know the outcome.
Especially when you know the outcome already, you know what I mean? And you know the people. And but it was an interesting rivalry. That rivalry, man, it was so intense, and it really did that thing was really important to helping elevate women's MMA, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously Ronda was a big part of that, but the rivalry with Miesha was – you know, such a heart of the story versus just other, you know, just beating, you know, no disrespect to the other women that she beat along the way, but there weren't that intense rivalries. This was the one that kind of lasted, came from Strikeforce into the UFC. You know, it was funny because I hadn't thought about it in years, but like, as we were getting ready to film, but going back and watching, like, where just Ronda refuses to shake her hand, and like, to be honest, I hated that. Like, that's my favorite thing about MMA is that, like, oh, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, but then we've got each other's respect. You know what I mean? Like, we went out there and we laid it out there and like, all right, let's go have a beer afterwards, you know? And I did hate that, but, you know, kind of reliving that. So anyway, go check it out. It was cool. That team, that Vice Sports team, and I know they're starting to do a lot more like live sports, and, you know, they're trying to do some things over there. I know they've got some MMA programming over there. I could say the team that we shot with, man, they were top notch, man.
Very, that's awesome.
Very professional the way they did. So I like the way it came together. Hopefully everybody can check that out. But you plug anything? Good? You want to get
No.
Check out your USA Today travel footage.
I was just thinking. I was double checking the thing because it was Memorial Day, but we'll be able to talk next week about the upcoming Memorial Day, because this past weekend I'm part of this ERG group, and one of them is Military Forward, but we had this retired general that came on there, and he was talking about Memorial Day, and he's like, for all you that served or people that had whatever, he's like, I don't want you to have a happy Memorial Day. He's like, I want you to have a reflective Memorial Day, and he had this awesome quotes from like JFK and stuff. He was such a well-read dude. I was just like, I was eating it up, because not often you get to talk to like a two-star general, even if he was retired or whatever. Yeah. I get off on that shit so bad. So it was really, really cool. But he was talking about stuff. But I'm gonna look up some quotes. I'll look up that before Memorial Day. So our next one, I'll leave some of these quotes, because some of these quotes are so powerful. He was bringing up some of the stuff that JFK was saying and all his other stuff. But I was just double checking that. But outside of that, no, yeah, you could look at the USA Today stuff once it finally comes up, but I'm not even sure when it's going to release. But outside of that, no, same old boring me. Same old boring me. I'm going to be working out with hot tea here in a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. We're going to get. You know, when you're constantly in a state of swoleness, you just always got to sort of update on it. You know, so no, we're going to do a little workout later on. But besides that, I'm pretty boring. I don't have anything cool. No family. No fun. No fun birthday trips here. No whatever. But I'm down for some Korean barbecue here soon.
Oh, we'll have to make a boys' night out.
And if you listeners, we have went to barbecue, Korean barbecue with listeners of the show before. We went out and have drinks, and we will always say it one more time. You come to our town, and you say, let's hang out and have some drinks.
You don't have to go as hard as James.
I was just like, we don't
careful
have to go crazy.
Say. Careful what you say.
We are always down to go out and enjoy some stuff. So
I am not the best at saying no to the next round of drinks.
You are terrible. But yeah. But we did pretty good the other night. We did pretty good. Like I hadn't went out and really. It wasn't like we went hard, but we did end up. We ended up in like three or four places.
Yeah, Container Park. So we had a cocktail Container Park.
Yep. Then. Nerd Bar.
Oh, Nerd Bar. Still, man, hadn't been a Nerd Bar in years.
I forgot. I asked for a change so we could do the valet or whatever. Yep. When I went to something earlier, I had to pay, or I got a smoothie at this thing I was at. I was like, where did I get all these ones from? I couldn't remember why I had all these ones in my pocket. It's from or my wallet. It was from the Nerd Bar.
That's
cashing
funny.
Out for the thing.
That's such a cool place. The guy that owns it is a big MMA fan. And
yeah.
He's got, I mean,
arcade, memorabilia, WWE stuff. You were taking a bunch of pictures.
Took pictures of some stuff, like this last one. Because you always find some new. Because I think he rotates stuff through there because his collection is so big.
Yeah.
And number two, there's just so much you kind of miss some stuff. And you're like, oh, I never saw that before. But yeah, like last. Like I was like, what is that? A ticket to Pride 1. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and they have bowling alley. Like, there's bowling alleys in there, so you can actually, you know, drink and have bowling and stuff. But no, it was a lot of
fun.
So
we did Container Park, then went to Nerd Bar. Or wait, Nerd Bar, then Container Park?
Yeah.
And then
Dino's.
And then Dino's, which the institution that is Whoa. Dino's.
But yeah, I was feeling that. So yeah. Woo-wee. But yeah, John's not good at saying no, and apparently I was not – I wasn't saying many no's that night as well.
Too funny. All right, listen, we will have an and a half for everybody over at patreon.com/TheMayRoadShow. We appreciate everybody that supports us there. I'm flying out early on Wednesday morning, so maybe we end up doing something Monday and something Tuesday. I don't know. We'll figure all that out. Logistics, you know, we'll bring it to you. 529 consecutive weeks without missing.
Yeah.
We're not going to start now. Hope everybody enjoys the fights this weekend and the Apex card. We'll make sure and talk about it all on Monday. Thanks for listening.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.